Okay, so first of all, I want to thank Jackie and family for sponsoring today's shiur. L'zecha nishmas Jackie's mother, Chana bas Chaim Yisachar Dov, alayhi ha-shalom, whose yahrzeit is this Sunday, the 11th of Mar Cheshvan. And the learning today should be le'ilui nishmasa. Okay, interesting topic to discuss today. I feel like every week we're sort of branching out, but you know, every week I come across interesting things that I want to share. We don't generally like learn tefillah together, although it's fascinating, and we'll touch on it today. But obviously, the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, you know, we'll recognize as being sourced in this week's parsha, and Chazal saw it as being sourced in this week's parsha. So the theme of today's shir is the bracha that Chazal called Avot, right? The bracha that ends with Magen Avraham, the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. And I'd like to do three things. First, talk about sort of big ideas around the Avot. Second, halacha relating to the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. And third, really a fascinating exercise, looking at the text of the first bracha of Shmona Esrei and seeing, you know, what we come up with and what interesting things there are there. As you'll see, it's something we don't spend a lot of time on. You know, Chazal didn't like to make up their own tefillos. They were uncomfortable. That's why they steal from Tehillim so often. Shmona Esrei was a tefillah made up from beginning to end. But Chazal did, or the Anshei Knesset HaGdola specifically, tried as hard as they could to incorporate themes and text and phrases from Tanakh so that they, you know, they felt comfortable praising God in ways that had already been approved as acceptable ways. But let's start with a simple but interesting question. And that is, why Avot, plural? Right, Chazal called the bracha Avot, even though it ends Magen Avraham. But even more broadly, you know, like everybody here, I have one father. Yes, my father has a had a father, and he's my grandfather, and he had a father. He's my great-grandfather. What does it mean, and why is it that we have, you know, three Avot, when instinctively, you know, Avram Avinu was the founder of monotheism. It's true. He had a son Yitzchak, he had a son Yaakov. But generally speaking, and even in the bracha, just it seems strange that our religion needs three forefathers. Why couldn't it have been the case that Abraham is the founding member of our religion and it was passed down to Yitzchak, who passed it down to Yaakov? That's the fundamental question we want to deal with. Okay, let's start with this week's parsha. Okay. Beginning of the parsha. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha mibeit avicha el haaretz asher arecha. That's easy. Now our pasuk. Ve'eescha legoy gadol, va'avarechecha va'agadela shemecha ve'heye bracha. It's a lot of blessings going on in this pasuk. The Rashi we all know talks about, you know, there are three things that traveling can minimize, right? One is wealth. One is reproduction, and one is your name, your reputation. So Rashi, the one that we know, Rashi says, you know, what are these things? Vaschal goy gadol, you'll reproduce, va'avarechecha, you'll be rich, va'agad lashemecha, and nevertheless, despite the fact that you're traveling, your name will be made great, ve'yeh bracha, and you'll be a blessing. The Gemara, less well known in source number two, in Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Bet in Psachim, has a different approach. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, ve'eescha legoy gadol, zehu she'omrim Elokei Avraham, va'avarechecha, zehu she'omrim Elokei Yitzchak, va'agadela shemecha, zehu she'omrim Elokei Yaakov, yachol yehu chos min bekulan." Right, this is obviously referring to the first bracha in Shmona Esrei. So maybe then the bracha should end with Baruch Ata Hashem Magen Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Talmud Lomar Veheye Bracha Yu Avraham V'cha Chotmin. We will end the bracha with you, Avraham. Ve'ein Chotmin B'Kulan. We're not going to end the bracha with reference to Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's a little strange. So first of all, what the Gemara does is say there are four separate I call them verbs in the pasuk. So the Gemara says, okay, one verb, ve'escha l'goy gadol, that's Abraham, va'avar echecha, that's Yitzchak, va'agadala shemecha, that's Yaakov. Now you have one left over, ve'ye bracha, there is no fourth father. Ve'ye bracha, that goes back to Abraham, that the bracha should be named after you, Abraham, and not your son and your grandson. Okay? So on the one hand, we have three forefathers. On the other hand, the Gemara is already hinting at, yeah, it's true, we have three, but Abraham, you know, is the first among equals. Let's say it that way. Okay. Now, it turns out we're so used to the phrase Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov that we stop paying attention to the fact that grammatically it doesn't work. And by that I mean Elokei is plural, right? I don't have, you know, I have one God. I don't have many gods. So this point is brought up in a number of places. The easiest source for me to quote was the Torah Tamim on source number 3. And it's significant. The Torah Tamim says as follows. Nira hakavana mishum dimatzinu sheyiched hakadosh baruch hu shemo rak al klal hauma, namely Elokei Yisrael. Right, the phrase Elokei is usually followed by something plural, like the entirety of the Jewish people. Va'al hayachid matzinu yichudo rak al ha'avot. You only find Elokei as a prefix to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So, for example, velo matzinu Elokei Moshe, Elokei Aharon, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is the most important person to ever live. But it never says Elokei Moshe, it never says Elokei Aharon, it never says Elokei David, it never says Elokei Shlomo. The phrase Elokei is a prefix to a collective, Elokei Yisrael. The only time it's used for individuals, says the Torah Tamim and other people as well, is with respect to the Avot. V'hainu ha-perush v'escha l'goy gadol, she'techashev ki goy gadol ve'uma shleima v'ayached shmi alecha. Meaning, as strange as it sounds, Avraham Avinu was the head of a nation before he had any children, before there was a nation. That's what the phrase means. Yitzchak represented a nation, even though he's just one person. Yaakov, the same thing. They are lahavdil, like the founding fathers, you know, of America. And I'll explain what I mean. You know, if George Washington, if Adams, if Jefferson said something early on about the purpose of the nation, it's more important than something Abraham Lincoln said. Now, Abraham Lincoln could have been the greatest president ever, but he didn't found the nation. He didn't represent the nation, so therefore he has different standing, right? This isn't to say that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are more important than Moshe. It's to say that they exist in Jewish history in a way that others don't. There is a period of time called the period of the Avot when the things that they did created a nation. Right. When we think of Jewish history, when we think of learning, for example, okay, so there's, let's do it this way. There's the Dor HaMidbar. Then there's Yehoshua. Then there's Nevi'im. And then there's Shoftim. Then there are kings, right? Then we're skipping. Then there are Tanaim. And, you know, then there are, I don't know, Gaonim. There are Tanaim and Amoraim and Gaonim and Rishonim and Achronim. People live in different eras. So what we find here is the Avot lived in a different era. The things that they did mattered because they represented the future Klal Yisrael that didn't yet exist. And the easiest way to see this as a practical matter, like it's not just theoretical, is the idea we all know called Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim. Yes.
Is there a more simplistic way to look at this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with the world was formed with Avram, and that was, you know, the world view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak was an extension of that, but Yaakov was a singular relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. It's sort of like a phased-in relationship with Am Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship to the world, to Yitzchak was different and Avram was different. It's sort of like a gradation.
I can't imagine that that's more simple than what I said. You suggested it's simpler. No, right now, you're saying a fancy thing. Right now, I'm saying there's a group of people called the Avot. I'm not looking for differences between them yet. They each represent Klal Yisrael before Klal Yisrael existed in a way that Moshe Rabbeinu did not, and that lends them historical significance. And now I'm about to explain what I mean by historical significance. The Ramban says, I'm not disagreeing with you, I just think it's fancier than what I'm trying to say. Maybe we'll get to something like that later, although I don't know that I buy it completely.
Ellie,
here's the yes.
I hear everything that you're saying. I just wanted to make the point that the word Elohim, we never really focus on that, that's...
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right that the word Elohim is like a bizarre word because it's a plural.
Right, but we never focus on that's a plural.
Correct.
And the smichut is L-O-K.
Right. But
that's the grammatical version.
But the observation, you're right, and the observation of the Torah Tumim is true. You don't find L-O-K Moshe. You don't find L-O-K, you know, and so that's what we're focusing on. But let's get, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you because you're right, and I've thought about it for a long time, and maybe we'll pursue it one time, why there's a plural reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll come later in a few minutes to the key phrase in the bracha, Kel Elyon, which could be understood as, you know, the greatest of the gods. Okay, so we have
it's
to deal with
it's also what Malki Tzedek uses.
I know that. That's where we're going to get to. Okay. So, but what does it mean that they represent something and that they're part of a historical period that others are not part of? So let's look at the Ramban in source number 4. The Ramban is the single strongest proponent of the idea we know of as Ma'aseh Avos Simon Labanim. Here's the Ramban. The Pasuk says in our parsha, Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Elon Moreh, and the Ramban basically is thinking to himself, that's a pretty boring pasuk. Like, what's it doing in the Torah? Why do we need this detail? And the Ramban says, and this is worth the price of admission, just for this Ramban, he says, Omar lecha klal, I'll give you a rule, tavinoto b'chol ha-parshiyot ha-ba'ot b'inyan Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. I'll give you this rule, and you should apply it or understand it in basically throughout all of Sefer Bereishis, all the parshiot that are coming, dealing with the Avot. V'hu inyan gadol. And you're feeling like, just tell me already. He's kiru rabotenu b'derech kitzara. Chazal mentioned in a short way, v'amru, kol ma she'ira la'avot siman lebanim. Anything that happens to the forefathers is a siman lebanim. Now, some people translate that as like a form of foreshadowing, right? Like if you're reading a book, certainly if you're reading a novel and there's some fact that comes up early in the book, right? So if it's not that well written and it comes up, you'll think to yourself, oh, this is probably going to matter later on, right? Like here's my general rule. You know, if somebody goes to the bathroom at the beginning of a book or a movie, somehow that's going to matter, okay? That's not what the Ramban is saying. The Ramban is not saying that, oh, you know, the Torah is letting you know in advance. If it happened to Avraham, it's likely to happen later. The Ramban in his Hakdama to Sefer Shmos calls Sefer Bereishis Sefer HaYitzira. And he says it's not Sefer HaYitzira because God created the world. That's just one parsha in Sefer Bereishis. It's Sefer HaYitzira because Ma'aseh Avot Yitzira Libanim. What the Avos do obligate us. It creates, I'll use fancy words because I know, you know, like some kind of metaphysical path. So if Avraham goes down to Egypt because of a famine and his wife is kidnapped by Paro and God smotes Paro's house with plagues and Paro kicks him out, but not until he pays him a lot of money. Yeah, that's what's going to happen later because it happened to Avraham. Etc. So it's not just a theoretical idea that the avos exist separately. The idea of Masa Avos Siman Labanim ends with Yaakov Avinu. We don't have that idea anymore. For whatever reason, and you know, any of the ideas that were mentioned already, for whatever reason, once Yaakov Avinu passes away, there's no more, if it happened to him, it will happen to us. Okay? So now we've given some tangible, you know, substance to this idea of the Avot living separately and representing something separately. Okay, once Yaakov died, that period of time was over. And maybe you could then say the regular Jewish history began. Now, let's switch gears to halacha, because there are fascinating halachos relating to this first bracha of Shmon Esrei, and they impact other things in davening. So let's start with source number 5. Here's a really, really famous siman, siman kuf aleph in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Mechaber, Hamispalel, okay, just Hamitpalel, Sarich Shiyechavein B'chol HaBrachot. The Mechaber says, Shmona Esrei, you are required to have kavana in all 19 brachos. V'im eino yachol lechavein b'chulam, which is hard, lefachot yechavein be'avot. Okay, so the sense you get in the Mechaber is that somehow the first bracha of Shmona Esrei is more important than the others. Really, you should have kavana for everything, but if you can't, at least have kavana in the first bracha. Now, at this point, there might be two explanations for why that is. One, because it's the first bracha, so somehow, you know, you're supposed to at least have kavanah at the beginning. Or the other is, no, there's something really, really important about the first bracha that's not true about the second bracha. Now the Mechaber continues. Second line, Im lo kivein ba'avot, afal pi shekivein b'chol hashar, Yachzor v'yitpalel. This is very bad news for us. The Mechaber paskins that if you didn't have kavana in the first bracha, even if you had kavana in the others, which now convinces us that there's something unique about the first bracha, it's not just because it comes first. The Mechaber paskins halacha lemaisa that everybody didn't have kavana in the first bracha of Shmona Esrei this morning, which I'm guessing is a significant group of us, has to repeat Shmona Esrei. Now the Ramah comes to our assistance, but in perhaps the most depressing halacha ever, says the Ramah, V'ha'idna ein chozrin b'shvil chesron kavana, but nowadays we don't repeat Shmona Esrei because of a lack of kavana. Why? She'af b'chazara karov hu shelo yechavein. Because even if you did it again, the Ramah says, you're probably not going to have kavana the second time either. Im kein lama yachzor. Why would you repeat? It's just a bracha levatala, right? So it's helpful. Okay, we don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei every time we don't have kavana, but it's depressing because the reason we don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei is because the assumption is we won't have kavana the second time either. Okay, now let's try to parse what we've just read because it's obviously important. Here's the Mishnah Berurah in source number 6. 3 Mishnah Berurahs right on this line. What is kavana? First paragraph, Sif Katan Bet. Hainu Peirush Hamilot. This is the Mishnah Berurah, nothing fancy, no Kabbalistic ideas. You need to know what the words mean in the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. Al Kain, Ma Nachon Ma'od Lahamonim, Shiyil Medu Peirush Hamilot, Shel Kol HaTfilah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you know what? You should sit down with an art scroll. Okay, he never knew the art scroll. Maybe he would have chosen Koran. I'm not advertising. Either way, sit down, read it in English. Va'al kol panim shel birkat avot umodim bivada yesh chiyuv alav leida biuro. And if you can't do all of it, certainly avos, the first bracha, and modim, that's like the second most important bracha in Shmona Esrei, apparently, but we're not going to deal with that now. Okay, he says, what is kavana? Kavana is knowing what the words mean. Sit down, read it in English so that you know what the words mean. Now, why is the first bracha, why is avot so important? Second Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Gimel. Ki hu sidur shvacho shel makom, because that's the praise of God. Al kein eino bedin shehe az ponel levavo lidvarim acherim. if you're supposed to be praising God because you're about to ask him for things and you're not paying attention, I'm adding to the Mishnah, it's offensive to God. Okay? So that's the Mishnah Berurah. And v'hu mishara sha'afilu ba'avod lo yichavein lo yitpalel ah. Okay, we'll read more. V'yesh poskim d'gam modim chashuv kavod l'chatchila. Okay, important to note, right? You should try very, very hard to have kavana in modim as well. Now, last piece. V'imhu mishara sha'afilu ba'avod lo yichavein. Let's say, for whatever reason, you just got terrible news, you just got great news, you're in the middle of something, and it's time for mincha. Says the Mishnah Berurah, ask yourself the following question. Can I have kavana for at least the first brach of Shmona Esrei? If you can, you should daven. If you can't, lo yitpalel klal ad shetit yashev da'ato, you're in a meeting and you leave the meeting and there's like a little booth, what used to be like smoking booths. I don't know, you know, it's unpleasant to daven. The Mishnah Berurah says the halachic definition of whether you can daven is, can I have kavana for the entirety of the first bracha of Shmona Esrei? Okay, that's a really significant point. Last point in the Mishnah Berurah. This is on the Ramah, right? The Ramah said nowadays we don't repeat because we won't have kavanah the second time around. And clearly what he means is it would be a bracha levatala. Now comes an amazing chaye adam, which everybody should implement because it's the halacha and because it works. V'ha'idna, kasav ha'chaye adam. The chaye adam was the Mishnah Berurah before the Mishnah Berurah, right? He lived into the 1800s. He was in Prague. He was in Vilna at some point, right? Every Ashkenazi Jew had a Chaya Adam, and he got superseded by the Mishnah Berurah. Because of a Chaya Adam, nearly. Kevan demitzad hadin tzarich lachzor ulehit palel. Since really the din is, the Mechaber paskins that way, and the Ramah doesn't disagree, the din is you're supposed to repeat Shmona Esrei. Al kol panim im nizkar kodem sha'amad baruch ata Hashem magen Avraham b'sof bracha yachzor lomar me'elokei Avraham. I'll explain. Says the Chaya Adam, the halacha is as follows. You're supposed to repeat Shmona Esrei. You're supposed to repeat the bracha. We don't want you to repeat because you probably won't have kavanah the second time and it's a bracha levatala. But what if you wake up right at Magen Avraham? Right? You're at the end of the bracha, but you have not yet said Baruch Ata Hashem. Says the Chaya Adam, you have to go back to Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and say the bracha. That's the halacha. Now, when I came across this a few years ago, something I had not known, I started doing it. It sometimes does happen that you wake up in the middle of the bracha, you realize you didn't have kavana, and then you go back to Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. A, you're following the halacha, but B, it starts teaching you to have kavana. You know, because the second or third time that you do it, you just say to yourself, this is ridiculous. Why don't I have kavana the first time around? So again, you wake up any point in Hakel, Agadol, Adibar, Vanarok, Kel, Alion, Gomel, Chasadim, and right then you realize, I haven't been paying attention. Go back and say, Elokeinu, Elokeinu, Avoseinu, and repeat. And two things will happen. You'll be fulfilling the halacha, and two, you'll teach yourself to have kavana. It really does work. Okay, so much for those interesting halachos. Let's broaden our focus from narrow kavana in the first bracha to kavana generally in Shmona Esrei. And this leads us to two contradictory Rambams. Okay, so far what we've seen in the Mishnah Berurah is kavana means perish hamilos. But in the Rambam, it might mean something else. Here's the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, source number 7. Perek Dalet Halacha Tezvav, says the Rambam, Kavanas Halev Ketzad. What does it mean to have Kavana? And the Rambam says as definitively as he can, Kol Tfila She'ena B'Kavana, Eina Tfila. Prayer, or in this case Shmona Esrei, without Kavana, is not Shmona Esrei. You're just saying words. It's clear that that's not davening. And if you didn't get it, the Rambam continues. V'im hitpalel b'lo kavana, chozer u'mitpalel b'kavana. And it sounds like it's all a Shmon Esrei. If you didn't have kavana, you didn't daven. I think the Rambam's saying kind of like, it's not even like a halacha, it's just a fact. Whatever it is that you think you just did, if you didn't have kavana, you didn't do. You know, you may have read words, but that's not Shmona Esrei. And the Rambam continues in Halacha Tezayin in the second line. What is Ketzad hi akavana sheyifne et libo mikol hamachshavot? You're supposed to, you know, clear your mind. And you have to see yourself as if you're standing in front of the Shekhinah. Some people have pointed out, like, where's the Shekhinah? So almost certainly you're supposed to imagine yourself standing in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Okay, and by the way, it works. Right? You, like, if you need some touchstone to get you back to Kavana, it's good to have some ideas in your head. And, you know, the main one is imagine yourself standing in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Okay? I may have mentioned this before, but, like, when I imagine it, you know how there's, like, this silence, right? There's a lack of sound. But sometimes it's like a silence you could hear in your head. You could hear how quiet it is. So when I imagine myself standing in the Kodesh HaKadashim, addition to all, when I'm there, the Kodesh HaKadashim has maroon carpeting. I can't get it out of my head why the Kodesh HaKadashim has maroon carpeting. I'm quite sure that it didn't at the time. But, okay, that's what the Rambam says. So Kavana, he's not talking about Perush HaMilos like the Mishnah Berurah did. Kavana is to understand and to recognize that you're standing in front of God. Here's the problem with that Rambam. Later on in source number 8, in Perek Yud Halacha Aleph of the same Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam says as follows: Mi shehit palel v'lo kiven et libo yachzor v'yit palel b'kavana. Okay, that's consistent. If you didn't have kavana, you have to repeat with kavana. V'im kiven et libo b'bracha rishona shuv eino tzarich. But if you had kavana in Magen Avos, which is obviously where the Shulchan Aruch got it from, then you were Yotzei, and you don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei. So everybody asks, including Reb Chaim, this is like the first Reb Chaim in his Sefer, wait, it's a clear stira. In source number 7, the Rambam Perek Dalet said, if you don't have Kavana, you didn't daven, and you have to repeat. But in Perek Yud, in source number 8, the Rambam says, yeah, but if you have Kavana for the first bracha, then that's good enough. Wait, but what about the rest of Shmona Esrei? It wasn't davening according to the Rambam. So in like classic Brisker Lamdus, and it's really, really famous, Reb Chaim said, there are, and this is the answer to this the methodology that Briskers use to answer like every steer in the Rambam. I may be oversimplifying a little bit. No. There are two types of Kavana. The Rambam is not inconsistent. He's talking about two types of Kavana. The first Rambam in source number 7 is talking exactly what the Rambam said, an awareness that you're standing in front of God. If you're not aware that you're davening, you know, if you wake up during Ala Chasidim, or Ala Tzadikim, right? You had no idea you were davening. Okay, so, you know, that's not davening. But with respect to the first bracha, the Rambam is talking about Perush HaMilos. In the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, the Rambam says, you have to have Perush HaMilos. You have to know what you're saying. And if you don't, you aren't Yotzei. With respect to the rest of davening, you just have to be vaguely aware that you're davening. If you're aware that you're davening, that's good enough. And here I think you get to like a big idea in davening. Everybody knows there's a major machlokas, mitzvos tzrichos kavana or mitzvos einon tzrichos kavana. Okay? Broadly speaking, we generally paskin that for mitzvos aseis, you need kavana for doraisas, you need kavana for drabanas, you don't. It's not at all clear. But here, this is not tolui at all in mitzvos trichos kavana or not. The Rambam says, if you're not aware of the fact that you're davening, then you're not davening. It has nothing to do with an external idea of kavana. the essence of davening is understanding that you're talking to God, which, by the way, is why it's so valuable to daven in shul. Because if you daven at home, you know, everything could get lost. But if you take the trouble of schlepping to shul and you're there in shul, well, of course, you know that you're in shul. And if you know that you're in shul, you know that you're davening. If you know that you're davening, you know who you're davening to, even in the most latent way. And so, of course, it's going to be fine. You need to have kavanah for the first bracha. And after that, you're aware that you're davening, you're fine. But if you're not aware of that you're davening, then whatever it is you're doing, it's not davening. Masha lama davar doma. Shma. Okay? Everybody knows that if you didn't have kavanah for the first six words of Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you have to repeat. That is the halacha. By the way, side point. There, somebody asks, wait, how come we repeat Shema, but we don't repeat the first bracha of Shmona Esrei? And the answer is, come on, it's six words. Anybody could have kavanah for six words the second time around. Also, it's not a bracha levatala. It's a pasuk. So there's no downside. So the halacha really is you're supposed to repeat. But why is it so clear that if you don't have kavanah for Shema, you're not yotzei the mitzvah? Because the answer is because it's kabbalat ol malchut shamayim. You can't accept the yoke of heaven unless you accept the yoke of heaven. And no magic words. If you don't know what it means to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you didn't do it. Maybe a better example: Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, if you say Hayom Shnei Masar Yom Shehem, whatever, right? But you don't speak Hebrew. And if I ask you afterwards what night is tonight and you don't know, you aren't yotzei the mitzvah. Why? What if we paskin mitzvah say non tzrichos kavana? The answer is you aren't yotzei the mitzvah because the mitzvah is to count. And whatever you just did wasn't counting because you can't count unless you know what the numbers are. So the same thing here in the Rambam, and it's critical, right? There's no davening without basic awareness of the fact that you're davening. Because that's what davening means. You can't stand in front of God and request things if you don't know that you're standing in front of God to request things. So that's one type of kavanah, which is ma'akev in all of Shmona Esrei. The other type of kavanah is peyush hamilos, is understanding the words. And that is critical only for the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. Okay? That's the halacha part. Now let's go to the bracha of Shmona Esrei and see if we can really understand the first bracha. So I put the text in 9, even though everybody knows it by heart, but I bolded the words to try to, you know, generate conversation. And by conversation, I mean me talking. Okay? So here's the bracha, right? The first thing you notice, okay, bracha to Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. That's pretty good. I mean, there's a discussion about why it doesn't say Melech HaOlam, but let's leave that aside. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. I know who that means. No, the bracha has to continue. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Now, it's not just that all three are named, but it's pretty obvious. It could have said Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, right? But Anshei Knesset Hagdola emphasized the differences between them or the separation. It's the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. And it continues, Hakel Agadol Agivor Vanara. Okay, that's a pasuk from Devarim. Kel Elyon, we'll come back to in a second. That's the strange phrase. Again, and then you get to Vizocher Chaste Avot. And we come back to the question we started with, which is the need for Avot and the need for them to be separated. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, despite the fact that the bracha ends, as the Gemara said, we saw earlier on, Magen Avraham. Not Magen Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So why the need for three avot, and why the need for a text that clearly separates between them? So the answer is going to be that they're different. Okay? The answer is going to be that they're different generally, and they're certainly different with respect to davening. Now, how do I know that? So let's look at source number 10, the Gemara in Brachos Chavav Amibet. It's pretty famous. There the Gemara has a machlokes, right? Tfilot avot tiknum or tfilot kineget tumidim tiknum, right? Everybody knows the machlokes. Is it Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov who we daven Shachris Minchan Marv for or kineget or is it the Karbanos? We're obviously just going to focus now on the avos. And here the Gemara brings a brisa to support the idea that we daven Shachris Mincha and Mariv because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did. And it's pretty straightforward. The Gemara says, Avram tikin tefillah Shachris Shenema Vayashkem Avram Baboker Lamakom Asher Amad Sham Yitzchak tikin tefillah Mincha Shenema Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh Lifnos Arev Yaakov tikin tefillah Arvis Shenema Vayifka Bamakom Vayolan Sham. Okay, so you read the Gemara, you go, great. Each of the Avos davened, and therefore we daven. And it's true. But if you look at the proof texts, if you look at the psukim that the Gemara brings to support it, you'll see that there's a much bigger difference than just the fact that, okay, the way I always imagined it, okay, Avram davened in the morning, so his son wanted to daven another one, so he davened in the afternoon, and Yaakov davened at night. I think this is much more, there's something much more significant going on. Let's look back inside. Avram daven shachris. Why? The pasuk says Vayashkem Avram baboker la'makom asher amad sham. What's the background? What's the makom asher amad sham? It's next week's parsha.
That's
Avraham.
Stone.
Excuse me.
That's before stone.
It's after stone. Meaning, the day before Avram stood there and begged God to save stone. After stone is destroyed, the pasuk is Vayashkem Avram Aboka El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham. Literally, he returned to that place. The Arabs have a history. I don't know the name of the place, Alka. Do you remember? It's a place like behind Hebron, where you, it's a hill where you could look out over the Dead Sea. So literally, you know, Avraham comes there the next day and he looks out, and what does he see? Absolute destruction. He sees like a mushroom cloud from Sodom and Amorah being destroyed. Okay? Now I think to myself, what does he say to himself? He's got to be frustrated. As far as he knows, Lot was also killed. They're all destroyed. Avram begged God. What's his feeling when davening? My sense is, his feeling is davening out of obligation. He's certainly not thrilled. Okay, I have to daven. I davened yesterday. God said no. Okay, I'll daven again today because that's what I do. By the way, I can't remember the name of the place, but if you go there, there's something really interesting. They show you where Avraham Avinu stood when he davened. Like, it's very moving, except they actually have his footprints in concrete. Now, I'm no historian, but my guess is that's not his footprints. And nevertheless, that's the place. So the sense I have is Avraham davened out of obligation after God said no. Yitzchak davened mincha. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach baseder lifnot arev. In my imagination, right, Yitzchak is walking in this beautiful woods and the sun is setting and his new wife is coming. He's got no problems, right? His life is great. He feels close to God, and he davens out of a sense of closeness, out of a sense of love of God, out of a sense of he has such a great life. Yaakov davens tefilas arvis vayifka b'makom vayolan sham. Where is that? That's he's being chased by his brother Esav, having just stolen the brachos. He's terrified for his life. It's not just that night is scary. He's scared, and his davening of Mariv was a davening out of need, was a davening out of fear. Each of the three davenings are completely different. Avraham, obligation. Yitzchak, closeness to God. Yaakov, out of need. They're all different. And Chazal, if you look in number 11, plenty of ways to prove this. But in number 11, you know, Chazal show the differences between them. Talking about Beis HaMikdash, Avraham kira ohar. Avram called the Mokom HaMikdash a mountain. Yitzchak kira'o sadeh, right? Kireach sadeh Hashem berachol Hashem. Yaakov kira'o, really it's supposed to be bayit. Ein ze ki'im beit Elokim. Chazal were not afraid of pointing out the differences between the avos. And Rabbik, one of my rabbeim who taught davening, he thought it was obvious that there are three approaches to Avodas Hashem. The answer to the question of why are there three Avot, why couldn't it just be Avraham? So the answer is if it was just Avraham, then Avraham's path would have to be all of our paths. And the way Avram did things would have to be the way we do things. But if there are three of them, and each of them acted differently, each of them davened differently for different motivations and for different needs, then we have three paths. Now, he said something even more staggering. He said, each of the avot chose his own path in avodat Hashem and in davening. And if we want to be like the avot, we have to be like the avot in choosing our own paths. That's why there's more than one. And that's why when you go back to the bracha, you know, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, of course it's the same God. But the path to reach the God and the relationship we have with that God is different for each of us. And what having multiple avot allows us to do, it allows us to find our own path. It gives us permission. And certainly with respect to tefillah, it's more dangerous and it's hard to know how to relate to it, generally speaking. Okay, but certainly with respect to tefillah, we all know this out of our own experience, which is we have moments of tefillah like Avraham. Meaning, to be honest, am I excited to daven mincha? No. But I'm obligated to daven mincha. I have a relationship with God, and my relationship with God requires me to daven mincha, right? You know, the same thing all of us have obligations to do, and the obligations are meaningful, right? They show we care about the relationship. But sometimes something great happens in our lives. And when something great happens in our lives, we're excited to daven, right? Some simcha happened. I don't know. We won the lottery. Whatever it is, then we daven like Yitzchak, and that's fine. Then we daven out of, like, you know, an overwhelming closeness and love of God and a deep feeling of gratitude. And of course, sadly, we all have moments where we daven like Yaakov. You know, we desperately need something. When you're in the hospital with somebody who's sick, you know, if you're in the waiting room, they all daven like Yaakov. There's a lot of kavana there. Right? Because they all need something. And they're all serious about davening. And I'm not saying, you know, we have to pick a path. What I'm saying is we have all three. And all three is fine. You know, you could have all three on the same day, right? You get up in the morning, you daven because you're obligated to daven, right? Something great happens during the course of the day, you daven mincha. You daven mincha because you feel grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At night, something scary happens. You're nervous about something. You just found out. Now you daven like Yaakov. It's not right or wrong. We have to find our own path to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and having multiple avot allows us to do that. Now, last thing. As was pointed out already, there is a strange term in the bracha, which I forgot to bold, right? Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanora, that there's a gemara about. Then there's Kel Elyon. Okay? Kel Elyon never appears. The phrase Kel Elyon never appears in davening in any other place. And it doesn't appear in Tanakh in any place other than our Parsha. Look at source number 12. And I have cleverly bolded the term so you could see not only that it appears, but it appears four times. What's the background? Avraham has just won the First World War, the five kings against the four. Okay, he comes back triumphant. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem Hotzi Lechem Vayayin. Who's Malki Tzedek? V'hu Chohen Le'el Elyon. So I know that he's not Jewish. I mean, the Medrash says that he's Shem, the son of Noach. But okay, he's some Gentile priest. He's a Kohen Le'el Elyon. Vayivarcheu Vayomar. Baruch Avram Le'el Elyon Konei Shamayim Va'aretz. Okay? Avram should be blessed. My sense is Kel Elyon probably means, I don't know this for sure, but you read it, the words mean, you know, the mightiest of the gods. Okay? So you say, that Malki Tzedek had many gods, but he was saying, you know, whoever the mightiest is should bless Avram. Uvaruch el alyon Hashem migein tzarecha biyadecha vayiten lo ma'aser mikol. Okay, and he's blessing Kel Elyon, who protected Magain, a phrase that doesn't come up very often. Again, Magain Avraham. And then Avraham gave him Maiser. Okay, and then Melech Stone wants the people back. And now Avraham answers Melech Stone in Pasuk Chaf Bet. And this is the shocking one. Vayomer Avraham el Melech Sodom, harimoti yadi al Hashem, keil elyon konei shamayim va'aretz. Avraham adopts the phrase that Malki Tzedek has been using, right? And you never find keil elyon in any other place. So again, it was easy to reject it. I'm not interested in keil elyon if it's Malki Tzedek. But I am interested in Keil Elyon if it's Avram Avinu who uses it. Now, one simple answer is, yeah, but he uses it after the word Hashem. So you couldn't misunderstand that it means, you know, the strongest of all the gods. But he does adopt the same phrasing that Malki Tzedek said. And Ravik suggested, again, dangerous, but he says it could be that first you daven as a human being, and then you daven as a Jew. And the phrase Keil Elyon was a universal phrase that people used. Okay, they weren't Jewish. They were just people. But prayer, I'll stop using the word davening. Prayer is universal, right? The song, Vaviotim al Har Kodesh Yisim, Olotem Zivchem L'Ratzon Bizbechi, right? Ki Beiti Beit Tvila Yikare L'Chol Ha'amim. Before it was a song, it was a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Okay? The Beis HaMikdash is Beit Tfilah L'chol HaAmim. Prayer is universal. And so it could be that Chazal, and this I'm just making up, but obviously the phrase Keil Elyon as used in the first bracha of Shemona Esrei was put there by Anshei Knesset Hagdola. And now we're speculating on why. But it could be that, yeah, it's kind of the pre-Judaism reference to God. It's the universal aspect that all people have a need to daven, not just Jews. And Avraham Avinu adopts their phrase and Chazal adopt that phrase. I think it's fascinating. And even if you disagree, I'm telling you, the phrase comes from this week's Parsha Keil Elyon. And if you have a better shot, you know, welcome and excited to hear it. And last one, right? The bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. So we've been saying it so long, we forgot to ask ourselves, what in the world is Magen Avraham? There's a gazillion adjectives that could have been used. What's Magen Avraham? So the answer is, Anshei Knesset Hagdola took it from the Pasuk. Next, it's almost the next Pasuk. Hachad V'Mo'ela, source number 13. Hayad Dvar Hashem al Avraham ba'machazel le'mor al tira Avraham anochi Magen lach. Secharcha harbe miod. Anshei Knesset Hagdola stole the word from the pasuk. Okay? Main thing to notice here is that, you know, if you spend time studying Shemona Esrei, the words are fascinating. They give you a window into how people sat around, you know, in a committee and made up the text of Shemona Esrei. And they mostly looked for psukim that existed already in Tanakh and adapted them. If I had to write the bracha, I'd say, well, let's see. If God said, Anochi Magen Lach to Avraham Avinu, good enough for me. I'll call the bracha Magen Avraham. Okay? But let's just finish where we started. We talked about why three. And in the end, you know, it's interesting. It ends Magen Avraham. That's the first bracha, that's the first source that we saw. It's critical that there are three paths because they represent multiple approaches to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's critical that there are three avot. And that's why it's Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. It's very, very important. But the Gemara said at the end, right, B'chachotmim, the bracha ends Magen Avraham. The bracha does not end Magen Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. And so, yes, it's true. There are multiple paths, but Avraham Avinu is the first of equals. It's just hard to see Yitzchak and Yaakov as being the same as Avraham, right? Avraham is the first monotheist. Avraham really is the founder of the Jewish nation. And yet his sons play a significant role because his sons, and this, you know, when you read Psukim and Bracious, you can't help but notice they're different. You know, there are theories about Yitzchak's personality. There are theories about Yaakov's personality. You know, Avraham stuck with one wife till he got a second one. Yitzchak always stuck with one wife, even if she was an Akara. Yaakov had four. The idea is there. The idea that there are different approaches and it was critical to have multiple fathers of our religion, it's all true. But in the end, b'chachot min, in the end, then they're equals. But if they're equals, Avraham came first. And again, Avraham reminds us that despite the fact that Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov each made critical contributions to who we are, and they were all part of a family with a last name of Avinu, in the end, Avraham is the president of the Avinu family, and somehow he matters the most. All right? That's what I have. Was a good effort to try to work through, you know, the bracha and ideas relating to it. Everybody have a great Shabbos and a great week.